Welcome everyone to the Goddess Vibration Podcast. This is Allie.
This is Tiara.
As of today's recording, July 29th, Tiara and I went and experienced ayahuasca together. And I know we've already done an episode about ayahuasca, but this time I actually went and I want to share some of my findings. And Tiara also has some things that she wants to share because it was a different experience from her first. So I think it gives interesting perspective for anyone who is interested in ayahuasca. I think the trips can be different for many, many different factors. And we just kind of want to talk about that. So as like we continue to explore, we might turn this into a series. If you guys are actually really interested in ayahuasca, that is something that we're open to doing and sharing with all of you. But this past weekend, we went to a new place for Tiara, first time for me. And the place is called Casa del Tigre. And it's right outside of Medellin, really, really beautiful spot on top of this mountain with amazing, amazing mountain views, and the ambiance was really beautiful. It was definitely cold. I understand what Tiara was saying about the freezing temperatures, and that was actually quite unpleasant to be that cold.
Oh, I stole like every single blanket available to keep myself from dying. Like, I don't know what it is, but when I do ayahuasca, I get really cold. And I didn't realize that that was a thing, that that's actually something that can happen when you do take the medicine, is it like lowers your body temperature, which made a lot of sense. But just being up in the mountains is already much colder. And for our whole maloca was actually outside. So they just had like a covering. And so that made it colder, and then it started raining. So yeah, it was freezing. And you know, I'm fortunate that they had extra blankets, because I don't know if I would have been able to do it if I hadn't been able to grab those.
Yeah, I think TR had like 5 blankets. And what's really, really funny is, you know, the host had to go even look for more blankets. And Tiara's like, yeah, I'll just take all of them. It's just like, what is happening right now?
And they weren't like, I mean, they weren't thick blankets, right? So what I had to do is I had to take like 3 blankets and then fold them into half and then lay under that with like an additional blanket that I brought on top. And once I did that is when I was actually comfortable. Like, that's how cold I was.
Right. So it was definitely an interesting experience. And so I have nothing to compare it to. So I'm going to leave like the comparisons to Tiara, since she's done it twice now. And this was my first. And I would say for me, I didn't get as much out of it as I wanted. And I want to talk about a few different findings, because I have obviously talked to a lot of people who have done this experience by now. And I didn't realize that it was super common, especially if it's your first time, that a lot of people won't have any type of journey. And the way that they describe it is the reason, well, there's many different factors, but one of the reasons why you might not journey is just because you might not have fasted, you might not have prepped your body so much in advance. Like, you just might just have so many blockages in your body that sometimes when people take the medicine for the first time, it's just simply there to cleanse, which means if you really want to have a journey, you got to go back and try it twice. And even the shaman had recommended, like, you should come back and try it again, which I'm not opposed of doing. But I do want to kind of talk about a couple other reasons why you might not have a journey. I got some insight from my acupuncturist just about ayahuasca being a man-made medicine. And so when something is man-made, like everything has a frequency, everything is energy. And the way my acupuncturist was describing it to me was, because everyone and everything has its own frequency, you actually might not be an energetic match with the medicine, which, if you know anything about energy, it actually makes a lot of sense. And so there's just a few different reasons why you might not journey. So anyone who wants to go and do ayahuasca or curious about ayahuasca, I think it's important to talk about the reasons why you might not have any journey at all and why that could actually be very jarring and disappointing.
So I felt very similar. Like my first time, it felt very introductory. Like I didn't have visions. Like I saw like two people in my vision, but it wasn't like the long drawn out like imagery that people talk about. So, you know, I had just kind of gotten the impression that because it was my first time, that was a big component for why I didn't. But I'll talk about this later, that in this session, I actually did need two doses before I actually saw anything. So it's hard for me to know if part of the reason was because it was my first time or if it was because I didn't take two doses. I think maybe a mixture of both. But yeah, no, that's absolutely possible.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I was talking to a person who was kind of walking me through it, and he had been many, many times. And he kind of talked about his experiences about like the first time he did it, because this person goes on retreats, like he'll do 4, 5, even 10-day retreats. We were just at a one night, overnight, one and done experience. And like he shared that he didn't really have any type of experience for days in a row, and he was getting really like frustrated. And I can understand why that's really frustrating, because you pay for this experience and you have expectations around of experience, and then if you don't get it, you're just like, why did I do this? Like, why did I sign up for it? But I do think that there's a lot of different factors that people need to be aware of about the prep of the body, what your frequency is, what the medicine's frequency is. I think it's also really important to know that different taikas or shamans or whoever's making the medicine might use different ingredients. Because I know for Tiara, she said, I don't know what it was about this last time, the experience her and I went on together. She was like, but this tasted way worse than the first time. So that's just kind of an indication that it might be mixed differently. You're going to get different experiences at different places. I think there's just so many factors involved. And I just don't want it to be a very jarring experience if you guys do have any interest in ever doing ayahuasca in the future. So I'm going to talk a little bit about my experience. And it's really interesting, the advice that I was getting. I was being told to drink as many cups as I can. And I was like, that's interesting, considering the fact that this is my first time. I have no idea what to expect. And so some of their advice was, you want to try to hold down the medicine for as long as possible, because some people will take the first cup and then immediately throw it up. And they were just like, obviously, if you feel the need to, like, there's only so much fighting you want to do. Like, you don't want to hurt yourself. Like, you know your body, but try to resist vomiting for as long as possible, especially during the first shot, because you need to give it time for it to, like, enter your bloodstream and to enter your system. And so you kind of want to hold off as long as possible. And I was like, okay, that makes sense. And so I held off for as long as, I think I held off for about 40 minutes, and I wasn't really feeling anything for the first, I don't know, hour and 15 minutes. And I was just like, okay, so this is really interesting. But I saw a bunch of people getting up for a second cup. And that's when I was just like, okay, maybe you do need a second cup. And so I took the second cup, and maybe 10 minutes after the second cup is when I started vomiting. And it was immediate. But like that second cup, I don't know what it was, but it just, the effects from the first cup, it's like it activated the effects of the first cup. And all of a sudden, I am getting all of these visions and flashes. And I'm just like, whoa, I just went from not really feeling anything to being overwhelmed with visions and psychedelic effects and seeing all these like shapes and like manipulating things. It was really wild. And I was just like, okay. So I went from like 0 to 100 in 5 minutes. So what do I do? So my body was just like, okay, you're going to get some of it out of your system and you're going to just throw up. And that's exactly what I did. And then the effects started to calm a little bit. Like the visions weren't happening as rapidly and things just started to feel better for me. And I was like, okay, like I feel like now this is manageable. I don't feel like I'm gonna like be super dizzy. And I'm just like, okay, so now I'm just gonna enjoy this journeying wherever it goes. Now, I had actually set intentions for this journey. And I would have to say that the plant doesn't specifically work with intention. And we talked about this a little bit in the first episode. I had a very specific intention. I knew exactly what I was going to ayahuasca for. And sadly, I didn't really get what I was looking for, which again, can be jarring and disappointing. But I also am just like, okay, this is just my first time. I think I need to go more times. So I'm open to trying it again. I'm really, really happy I went. It was definitely an experience for sure. There were things I absolutely loved about it. I loved the music. The music was just so, so beautiful. And it's really interesting how the music interplays with the medicine. It's like Tiara had a perfect explanation on why they do the music and singing. And she's like, it kind of keeps you somewhat present, but it also helps move along the medicine. And I was like, oh, that's actually such a great explanation, because that's exactly how I felt. I was like, I didn't feel like stuck in the journey ever. I was just like, it's like the music really does help move along the medicine, which I find to be really, really fascinating.
No, the music is such an important part of the experience. And I didn't realize they even did music until the first time I did it. And I remember being in Journey and just connecting to the music and even like lulling myself along with it, kind of like moving with it, and how soothing and helpful that was. And, you know, I've heard them talk about some people who sometimes go into journeying and they get caught in loops, or they get stuck on a specific either vision or thought or belief, and they can't, it loops over and over and over again. And so I think one of the purposes behind the music is to prevent that from happening, because it kind of, again, it just kind of lulls you, kind of like a lullaby is what it feels like. And you just feel relaxed and soothed and supported. And it's just, it's a very powerful aspect of the journey. So I was so grateful for the music, and I love the music just as much as I love, like, you know, being able to do the journey itself. It's just powerful, powerful stuff.
It is. It's very, very powerful stuff. Now, like I had mentioned, I didn't really fully get exactly what I wanted from it, and I'm okay with it. I did have some type of journey. I just didn't have your very typical introspection, getting the answers that I was seeking. I didn't really have that type of experience, because that's mostly what people have. Like, most people who go into these types of situations are looking to either break a habit, obviously heal themselves, connect themselves to their body, all that fun stuff. And I don't really know what happened with my journey, because I obviously went in with a specific intention, and then the plant was just like, yeah, we're not going to address that. we're going to work on this instead. And so I didn't really know how to navigate what was happening because I went in with a very specific intention. And I had even asked the plant, because I do have the gift of channel. And I was just like, so are we going to work on this at all? And they're just like, no, we're just going to focus on this over here. And I was like, I'm not opposed to that. It's just, okay, that's fine. But eventually I got tired and I ended up sleeping. Like once I felt the effects of the medicine wear off, I was just like, okay, I'm no longer seeing visions. I'm really tired. And so I'm just going to go lie down and close my eyes. And I think I was in and out of sleep, because I think if the music and singing wasn't happening, I probably would have just straight up fell asleep. But they keep the music and singing going. And so like there were just in betweens of silence. And I was just like, I think those were the moments that I fell asleep. But I think once they started singing again, my consciousness came back and it's just like, okay. So I'm just like in that in between stage of being awake and also sleeping. And then before we both knew it, the sun was coming up. And I was just like, how did the sun come up so fast? Because I know when you do these types of medicines or whatever you want to call them, it's you lose total concept of time. I was just like, where did the entire night go? How is it already daylight? What just happened?
Well, and we also started pretty late. Like my first session, we started about 10 p.m. This one didn't start till like 1 a.m., about 1 a.m., 1:30 a.m., which I thought was really late. And so that obviously takes away time from journeying. And so I think part of the reason why we were so surprised when the sun came up was just because, like, you know, we had only had our second dose at like 2 a.m. So it was definitely not as much time to journey as I experienced in the first session that I did, which was interesting. I kind of thought that it would be similar to the first experience where, like, you know, 10 p.m. on the dot, let's get started. But it was different. They started much, much later. And I don't know if there was a reason for that. I don't know if it was because it was raining. I don't know if they were like waiting for the rain to stop. I'm not quite sure. I just personally wish I would have had, and I think, you know, you and me both do feel this way, Ali, that we wish we would have had more time in the journey itself, or at least to like get into some type of journey. So that was interesting.
Yeah, I think every place has its own, you know, rhythm. I mean, maybe I just obviously there could be a million different factors on why we started later. Maybe they were raining. It was raining. Maybe they were waiting for the rain to stop. Maybe they were waiting for a position of the moon. Maybe they were just who knows? There could be a million different factors on, you know, when they decide to perform these ceremonies, what time these ceremonies are going to start. You just don't know until you get there. But I will say that I don't want to be disrespectful to anyone else's journey, but because like the effects of the medicine kind of wore off, and no, I was not going to go for a third cup at that point because the medicine ultimately made me feel a little sick. I did get the opportunity to do some people watching, and it's just really interesting to see how everyone was just in their own world, as it should be. Everyone should just be in their own little bubble, in their own little world. But it's interesting to see how the medicine affects different people. Like some people obviously like will regurgitate more. Other people, it's like the purging process. It's just some people will cry. Some people will, you know, just collapse. Some people will just, it's just interesting to see how the medicine affects you, like affects other people. And so it was just a really interesting, as a person who enjoys people watching, I was just like, huh, this is actually really fascinating to see how the medicine affects different people. And like kind of the closing ceremony, just being able to listen to some of people's experiences, like, you know, Some people became believers after their night of ayahuasca, like a believer in spirituality and like a believer in a higher power and a believer in connecting to themselves and like having that very specific journey. And I know like for Tiara, it was also that very profound experience of just like, wow, this is real. And sometimes like people just need that, like especially people who are on the fence about spirituality or even on the fence of like exploring something new. And it's just really fascinating just to see people just come in with, you know, just cautious and just being like, you know, I'm here to see what this is all about. And if I get an experience out of it, great. But if I don't, then, well, I guess, you know, it just gives them validation of like, okay, none of this stuff is real. And so it's really interesting just to kind of see how that transforms people and just being like, no, this stuff is real. And now I'm a believer. And I think that's just so, so cool.
It is cool. And, you know, that's kind of the point, right? Like, that's the point of the experience. It's to help shift some of those false beliefs or destructive beliefs, or at least give you something that will kind of allow you to have that other perspective. So I would say my experience was much different than my first experience in various ways. As I mentioned, I did need a second dose. I took the first dose and I sat with it for about an hour and didn't experience literally anything, like nothing. And I was kind of laying down and I was like, well, maybe I just need to like lay down and try to go to sleep, because last time I tried to doze and go to sleep and then that's when it kicked in. So I tried doing that. And Ali's right that there's a lot of, outside of the music, there's a lot of noise, right? Like you're listening to people purge and oftentimes you hear a lot of vomiting and that can be very loud and it's very distracting. And so I just remember trying to like rest and lull myself to sleep and then just kind of getting jarred awake different times and kind of getting like agitated. And I was like, you know, I think it's time for me to consider a second dose. So I did go and get my second dose. And then I want to say maybe 10 minutes after that second dose is when everything just took off. Like, and different from my first experience, I did actually vomit. And that was really profound for me because I remember in the first session being disappointed that I wasn't vomiting and just like fixating on it and just being like, no, I need to vomit. Everyone else is vomiting. How come I'm not vomiting? And then this time it came up relatively quickly. And I think the fact that the medicine was so bitter helped, because Allie's right. Like the medicine was terrible. Like it literally tasted terrible. I don't know that I've ever tasted anything so awful. But we're here for a journey and an experience. You got to set that stuff to the side, you know? And so obviously when it goes down, it comes back up, tastes in the same way. And then like, I just remember thinking in my mind, like, no, just get rid of it. Just get rid of all of it. It's just, it's awful. And when I purged, it was very, very intense for me. Like I haven't thrown up in years, you guys, like years. So I remember it coming up and then I remember like just heaving really, really hard. And then my mind kind of was like, oh my God, this is so painful. Why is it so painful? It's not supposed to be like this. What's happening? And then I remember an energy saying to me, you know, this would be a lot easier for you if you would stop fighting and just relax. And I was like, okay, I will do that. And then once I did that, the vomiting stopped. So I thought that was very profound. And something else I didn't experience in the first journey, I saw really trippy psychedelic stuff. And I've never done psychedelics. I've never done LSD or DMT outside ayahuasca or, you know, any of the psychedelic drugs. I've never been into them. I always thought that they were weird and that people who did them were freaks. And so when I saw the really trippy stuff, I literally did not know what to make of it. And like some of the stuff I was seeing was like the stuff people often describe in DMT type psychedelic experiences, like just very complex shapes. And I remember specifically seeing like black and white lines, and they were sort of twisting and like turning and kind of like twisting into these complex geometric figures. And then I saw like lots of colors and flashing. And I remember looking around and just being like, what the hell is going on? And so I sat with it for a minute, just kind of observing. And I was just like, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know what to make of this. What is the point of this? And mother said to me, I'll never forget this. Mother said to me, well, why do you need to do anything? And I was just like, oh, wow. It's my control issues showing themselves to me. I went into this journey with the intention of working through control and surrender. And so a lot of my journey was about just that. And so from that point, I started shifting into different visions. And this journey to me felt like a lot. Like it was multiple different topics, multiple different things that sort of came up for me to look at. Some of them I didn't even set an intention for, that just came up. And it kind of just, over the next couple hours, shifted from topic to topic to topic to topic. And I was just like, this is a lot. But, you know, I sat with them and worked with all the through all the things and learned a lot, like learned so, so much, and had a lot of profound insights and clarity about a lot of things. And overall, it was a very, very powerful journey, much more impactful than the first one, for sure. Absolutely, 100%. And I was kind of wondering if I was going to vomit again, because I know some people often vomit 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. I only vomited twice. The rest of the purging for me, again, was like still very physical, like shaking, pacing, twitching. I do a lot of that in my journeying. I don't know what it is. It's just like a lot of it's physical release for me. And I did have a combination of visions, hearing things, and then also just like the thinking, like the thoughts that come. So it was like a combination of different forms of getting information. But it was fantastic, and it was absolutely 100% worth it. And to a point now where I'm like, you know, I think I definitely want to continue to do it regularly, just because I know that there's still so much more in there that wants to show itself to me that I need to work through for various reasons. But I actually came back home from this experience and sat and journaled for like 2 hours. And there's still other stuff coming up, and there's still things I know I need to go back in there and add, just because that's how much there was. And I don't know if that's what it's like for other people. You know, I haven't talked to a lot of people about their journeys or experiences, not as much as Allie has. But just for me, it just felt like all this stuff just being thrown at me at once. And I remember thinking even like, why is this so much stuff? Like I literally in the journey had that thought, like, why is it this much? And
but I also think, you know what?
Yeah. Well, but, you know, I asked that question and they were like, well, because this is necessary. And like, it's just, that's what's there. Like, it's necessary. I was just like, Jesus. So similar to Allie, I came out of the journey feeling sick. And I think that's not unusual for ayahuasca, because I did hear someone else speak about feeling sick as well. Like the medicine just kind of does that to you sometimes. But coming out of it, I also struggled with like some dizziness and like just upset, just feeling like stomach upset. And usually for me, that doesn't wear off for like 7, 8 hours. So when the sun was coming up, they did this thing where people got up and you had to go sit in a circle with the shaman. And I remember people getting up and me just looking and being like, I can't move. I can't move. I feel sick. I'm dizzy. It's 5 a.m. I only started journeying 3 hours ago. I need to stay here. So I did stay in my little pallet for a little bit longer. And even when I was able to get up and join them, which I think I sat for like an additional 30 minutes to an hour before getting up to join them, I continued to journey. Like stuff was still coming up. The shaman was talking. I couldn't pay attention to what he was talking about. It was in Spanish too. And I was just like, my brain can't translate right now. But I did, you know, get up there and sit, and, you know, within the circle, it was just, my mind was still in the journey itself. And so, you know, again, I speak about really wanting a little bit more time in that journey, like just to lay down and go through it. And I don't know if I'm just sensitive like that, if my journeys last longer than other people. My first journey was about between 7 to 8 hours. And I think this one was very similar, like roughly 7 to 8 hours. So overall, it's given me a better sense of what's to expect and anticipate when it comes to me and how I journey specifically, like how much time I need, that I probably will need two or more doses moving forward. And that there's a good chance, even if I do set an intention, that a lot of other stuff is going to come through, which is perfectly fine. I welcome that. So very profound and incredible experience. I'm still thinking about some of the things I saw in my visions. I remember seeing specifically a Balinese, Indonesian, I think that's Indonesian, like the dancers, like the Balinese dance, where like you see the women with the heavy makeup and they've got these incredible garbs on and they're doing this very expressive and evocative dance. Very beautiful. It's usually done to music. And I saw one of these dancers and I remember specifically seeing her eyes and how she was looking at me. And I was like, this is very interesting and very beautiful. But I didn't know what to make of it, obviously. And I kept doing this thing in my journey where I'm like, okay, I see this thing. What does it mean? Like, should I unpack this? Like, what do I need to think about or consider? And then I would always get reminded, why do you need to do or consider anything? Let the journey be the journey. And I was just like, dang, I keep doing that. So I actually got tested in regards to that a couple times. But eventually it shifted into what the story is when it comes to that type of dance. And there's a lot of legend behind it in different stories. But the one that struck me was about how a king is captivated by the beauty of a woman. And I struggle with body dysmorphia. Like, people tell me I'm beautiful. I don't see it. I have never seen it. I have never thought that about myself. But I was reminded again that not only are you beautiful, but your beauty is captivating. And that one struck me so, so hard. And even talking about it, I get emotional.
That's really the power of this plant. It really shows you things that you need to know. And I wonder if people also don't journey because A, you're not an energetic match for it, or B, maybe the plant just doesn't have anything to show you, which can happen, which I still think is like wild. There's so much about this that I want to go deeper and I want to go deeper into the rabbit hole. But if it's not beneficial to me, then it's not beneficial. And I just have to accept that that's the outcome of this particular type of medicine. It doesn't mean that other medicines aren't a certain match for me, but I do think it's important to highlight some of these things because it's going to be different for everyone. And something that I wish, really, really, really wish, and maybe you get it, maybe you get this experience with longer retreats, not these like one-off, one-night experiences. I wish that they would talk more about the integration piece. Now, they send you information of like how to prep and then like post the medicine, like you want to continue to eat clean and, you know, you want to journal the things that are still going to come up because you're still going to be open as the medicine's still in you. And then they always say, like, don't forget about integration. Like, if you need additional support for integration, then seek it. And I'm just like, well, how do people know what needs to be integrated? How do you... It's like, what specific things in the journey do you know that need to be integrated? Is that just something that the person has to figure out themselves? I mean, I just have so many questions when it comes to the integrating piece. And I do think it's very, very important because the first time Tiara did ayahuasca, they offered integration assistance for any of their clients who go specifically to their ceremonies. Calibri Gardens, and she was telling me about like the post meeting, and people had said that people were like, okay, so this was like my 30th time doing ayahuasca and I feel great for 6 months, but then I always revert back. And so like all these people had all these questions about integration, like how do I get the effects to last longer? How do I actually integrate it where I make real change where I don't revert back? Unfortunately, we're still waiting for those answers because I know that she's going to hop on another call. And I know that the next call is going to be, well, let's talk about integration because these journeys are amazing and they're so profound, but it's like, if you can't extract what you need from them and integrate it properly, how do you actually make real change and how do you actually transform?
Absolutely. And, you know, I do really wish with my first experience that they would have talked more about the integration piece too. Like, it wasn't really mentioned. It was just like, hey, if you want help with integration, we have these calls you can hop on if you want to. You don't have to, but they're there. And so, like, I didn't really consider the integration piece as much with the first journey until post. And I was kind of like reverting. Well, I hadn't really, I mean, it was an introductory session. I didn't really get any of the more deeper, profound insights from that first journey. But I remember like recognizing that I had these struggles and habits and wondering, well, if I do ayahuasca again, how do I take that so that I can change these habits and integrate them and rewire my brain and do all those things they say you must do in order to shift? And, you know, unfortunately, it wasn't really talked about or expressed in the first experience the way I think would have been really helpful. And I do think it's something a lot of people struggle with, because when I was on that first call, that integration call, a lot of people were saying, as Ali mentioned, like, what is integration and how do we do it? Like, how do we take this and do it so that we can change the habits permanently? And I remember not necessarily getting an answer. So, you know, with this next call that they have, I am hoping to get a little bit more clarity on that. I've just sort of been getting assistance from, I'm going to say it, I do use ChatGPT for some of this stuff to like break down some of the things and some of my patterns and habits. And I've found a way to at least start working on retraining my nervous system just through using specific triggers and affirmation, which has actually been incredibly helpful. But everyone kind of needs to find something that works for them, you know, that's been working for me, that might not work for someone else. So, you know, I'm hoping after that next call, I can share a little bit more about some of the things that they might recommend or suggest with integration, because I do think that that would be very, very valuable.
Right. And it's frustrating, because I remember when I had signed up, you know, she sent me a very long list of pre-prep and then post-prep, like post-ceremony guidelines. And all I saw was, make sure that you make time for integration, like seek additional help if you need help with it. And I was like, well, first of all, I know what integration is. I actually know, but a lot of people, I would assume a lot of people don't know what integration is. And I just was like, you know, for newbies, it would be really beneficial to talk more about what is integration and what type of, I guess, healers or what type of practitioners would be ideal to help with integration. Like, for example, would hypnosis be more effective than talk therapy? Or like, who do I seek out for help with integration? Like, I wish that they offered more information and assistance around integration versus just saying like, make sure you make time to integrate, seek help if you need it. And I was like, okay, well, what does really any of that mean? Because the integration piece is the most important part. Because if you're not integrating it, and if you're not applying this information, and if you're not using it to create bigger self-awareness, then, and if you're reverting back to all of your old habits and all your old ways, what good is gathering all of this information? Like, what good is doing all this journeying? And what good is any of it if you just keep going backwards in your journey?
You're absolutely right. And I even had that thought, like leaving the first experience, like a couple of weeks after, like, I don't want to continue to go to ayahuasca sessions and get these profound insights and then not know what to do with them. Like, that's such a, I feel like, in my opinion, waste of my money and time and energy and effort. Like, I want to get the best from the experiences up through integration. So, you know, I've made it a point to try to find things that do help with integration. So, for example, when it comes to training my nervous system, I do this thing where if I feel like these old feelings or sensations popping up, I tap myself. and then I reframe. And even just doing that, it elicits a deep emotional response, which makes me feel like, okay, I think this is getting me somewhere. But again, that's just my technique and tactic. Everyone needs to find that piece that works best for them. And that might take experimentation or trying different things. So, you know, I'm hoping as we continue more ayahuasca journey, or at least myself for sure, that I'll have like a little bit more information to share when it comes to integration. That might be helpful for some of you guys.
Yeah, I would love if you were able to do that, because the integration piece, I would say the integration piece is actually more important than the journey itself, because the integration piece is what we use to transform ourselves and be better human beings and create that self-awareness and create new habits and, you know, help us evolve into better people.
Exactly. And ultimately, that's what it's about, right? Like, you know, I remember someone talking about how oftentimes people will have one ayahuasca experience and they will never return. And some of the people that were working with the shaman were talking about doing ayahuasca for like years and years and years. And I think one of his assistants had said he was able to overcome addiction by doing ayahuasca every week for, what was it, 5 years, 10 years or something like that. Just a lot of time with the medicine, so much time with the medicine. And for some, that might be an effective, that's something that they found that is effective for them. And, you know, I'm hoping maybe I can see if something like that might be effective for me. You know, I do integrate other things. And when I have, if and when I have the opportunity to do other things, whether it's hypnosis or past life regression, I'd like to do that stuff too. But I do definitely want to take advantage of the opportunity to do ayahuasca while I'm here, just because it's been so impactful. Here in Colombia, it's really affordable to do. You know, they have journeys and sessions all the time. You can find one. And you can even like find the host or the group of people that you resonate with most and continue to go with them, as I've seen some people do. So, you know, it's just been a very, very valuable, powerful experience, and I'm really grateful to have had the opportunity.
Absolutely. I'm so grateful that I had it too. And I know for me, I was not an energetic match with the medicine. And again, I don't know how it was mixed. I didn't know it could be mixed differently. So I'm open to trying it again and seeing if I have a different experience. But I'm still so grateful, because the experience itself was just so beautiful. Just the campfire and the singing and the music and just the setting of it all. And I'm just like, it was cold. It was freezing, but we were up in the mountains and like the clean, crisp air, especially like anyone who lives in a city knows the air quality isn't the best. So like just being up in the mountains and having that clean, crisp air, it was just so refreshing for my soul was just like, oh, it's so nice to be out of the city, to be in like clean air. Like, it's a beautiful night. Like, I love the psychedelic piece. I have done psychedelics before, and I love the psychedelic piece, just being able to completely have full creation, being able to create and being able to like manipulate the sky into images and just doing all this really, really cool stuff that the conscious mind really can't reach or do. And so I was just like, take, even though you're not getting the journey that you want, take the most you can out of this and get the experience that you can. Like, try to find ways to still make it a positive experience, even though you're not getting what you intended for. And I think a lot of people need to go in with that mindset. Even though you might set an intention, even though you're there for a very specific reason, if something doesn't go your way, try to find the good in the experience. Try to find the positives of the experience, because I'm not sorry that I did it at all. And I'm even open to trying it again. Now, if I have very similar experiences to the first time, then I know that ayahuasca is not for me. But I do believe in the introductory, or I do believe in you're not going to journey because you might just have so much stuff inside of you that you need to use your first journey just to cleanse, because your body needs to be clean to journey. That's why they recommend 3 to 7 days, a full week of just fasting. And, you know, you want your body as pure and clean as possible. And I understand why. And, you know, you don't understand these things until you actually live through the experience.
I just want to speak for a minute to the whole psychedelic piece. Like, I'm not here to trash psychedelics or that people do them for fun, but the whole trippy imagery, psychedelic imagery thing, it just, like, it freaked me out. I didn't like it. It's just, using psychedelics as medicine, I think, is incredible stuff. And I think we need to do more of that. I think it should be studied further. I think there's a lot of positive implications when it comes to psychedelics, when it comes to mental health issues and working past those. It's just like, just as something for fun, I'm not there. Maybe I'll get there one day, but it just like freaks me the fuck out. Outside of that, like, you know, DMT and ayahuasca and even, you know, 5-MeO-DMT, they're powerful, powerful substances. And with the right intention, they can absolutely be life-changing. So, you know, I do hope that this kind of gives you guys a little bit of a sense of what those experiences can be like. And if you decide you want to do it, great. Please, please, please do your own research. Because, you know, as Ali mentioned, sometimes the medicine is just not an energetic match, and that's okay. That is okay. I feel like we kind of go into these experiences, and I've done this twice, going into the experience, wanting to experience something. But I think the best thing is to go into the experience with no expectation. That's ultimately the best way to go about it. It's just like, you know, it's easy for us to get caught up on that whole piece of wanting to experience something. And the problem with that is sometimes it leaves us feeling disappointed. So the best thing, and this is something I need to do too, is to not have any expectations. And I will definitely carry that going into my third session.
I'm just really happy how transformative it is for Tiara, because again, if you guys listened to the first episode, it's been like a year and a half battle with her. Tiara likes to fight me a lot. And I think Tiara is finally learning, like, it takes me a long time to convince her to do something. And then when she actually does it, she's just like, oh, I think she feels a little silly because she spends all this time fighting me. And then she's just like, huh, no, actually, it was a really great experience. And I'm like, So let's just work on you not fighting me as much.
Yeah, usually once it gets to the point where I'm up against the wall and I have no choice is usually when I stop fighting. But I am working on getting better at that, at resisting. And it's tied to the control piece. And I know that that control piece is probably going to come up in future sessions for me. And
it absolutely will.
I'm expecting that and anticipating that. And I welcome that.
No, that's fantastic. I think Tiara is going to be working on the control piece for the next few sessions.
Oh, no, I absolutely will be, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyone who has any questions about ayahuasca, like, feel free to reach out to us now that we both have experienced it. We are in the process of looking for more sessions, so we might talk about unless, you know, this topic grows old, which I also totally get. But Tiara's right. I just hope people have open hearts and open minds around any type of healing. That's all we really ask for, is anyone to have open hearts and open minds around any form of healing, because healing is what brings us peace, and we need peace to navigate this crazy world that we're currently living in.
We do. We absolutely do. And I think a lot of us also need inner peace. And that's ultimately a reason why I chose to do ayahuasca, because I'm seeking that too. And I think ultimately that's something that we all want.
Yes. So thank you everyone for tuning in. If you guys have any questions, definitely feel free to reach out to us. Our website is currently down. We are working on getting it back up. And once we do, our emails will become active again. So just reach out to us on social media if you guys have any questions.
Yes. Thanks, you guys.